Greetings to everyone. I want to thank you for joining us on this pre-ICANN 57 policy webinar. This is the second edition. We had one at 10 UTC this morning, and we're happy to present this again at this stage on the 20th of October at 1900 UTC. I am David Olive, Vice President for Policy Development Support, and reporting to you from our regional hub in Istanbul. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share some time with you. The policy team is prepared to present some updates on the various issues of policy and advice development that you, the community, have been working on very diligently over these past few months. As you know, ICANN's policy development work relating to the technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICANN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by the four advisory committees in a bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open, and transparent process. ICANN's consensus approach can be long and at times filled with many different views. Through all the debate and discussions, compromise to consensus takes place, and people are committed to being involved and to give their time and effort to this process for policy development or advice suggestions. The Internet functions for everyone, partly because everyone is invited to help and make it function, and we do this all together. I want to point out this particular slide, which is the some statistics on the activity level of the community in the first quarter of fiscal year 2017. And here it shows the amount of work, the telephone calls, the meeting hours, the email exchanges that you, the community, have put into the policy and advice development work. Some of it in response to IANA transition, others in response to the regular working groups dealing with important topics for your communities. And so I wanted to point this out as an example of the hard work you've put into the process. Of course, our policy development team, we are 31 staff members in 5 time zones across 9 countries, subject matter experts, and support staff to help you in your work to make sure that the policies and advice relating to the domain name system work and work for you and work for everyone to make sure that the Internet runs smoothly and effectively. This meeting format, the annual general meeting, is part of the new meeting strategy. It will be our longest meeting in ICANN. At 7 days. It'll focus on ICANN's work in the broader global community in Hyderabad. Of course, there'll be 8 high-interest topics. I'll talk a little bit about that. An official opening ceremony, 2 public forums, and plenty of time for community work, consultation, and interaction. Because it is the annual general meeting, many of the groups elect new officers or officials, chairs and vice chairs of their groups, and that will be taking place as well in addition to the policy and advice development work of the meeting. In particular, we also would like to focus on the high-interest topics that were suggested, again, for cross-community development work. There were initially 17, 18 or so proposals from the various SOs and AC groups. This was narrowed down through a consensus process by the community leaders and those involved with preparing and consulting with us on the meetings. And these are the ones that will be done and selected. There was every effort made to try to make sure they didn't conflict with some of the other important meetings and activities you have at ICANN 57. But again, not everything can be done in a non-conflicted way, and so we have done our very best in consultation with the community to make sure that that happens and everyone can be involved. Needless to say, those that are able to be with us face-to-face. We look forward to seeing you there, and remote participation will be available to all those who wish to do that. This webinar will be recorded, and the slides will be made available. We hope that you have questions. Please put it into the chat, and we'll try to answer them in real time. And at the end of the conference, we will have time for questions and answers as well. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues, the policy team members, to talk to you about the current issues of activities that you have been working on for the past few months. With that, I'd like to turn it over for a community engagement update. Benedetta or Carlos,
you have the floor. Thank you, David. My name is Benedetta Rossi, Policy and Community Engagement Analyst, part of the Community Engagement Team. So the Community Engagement Team on the Policy Development Support Team focuses on overseeing projects that impact the various supporting organizations and advisory committees, recognizing that our greatest asset is community member time and commitment to the work of ICANN. So we therefore engage with community members to help streamline community effectiveness and enablement of delivery of projects. One of the types of projects our team supports is community governance document drafting or updating. The community engagement team is available to support interested community groups within each supporting organization or advisory committee with their governance documents. The types of services that staff can provide vary depending on the requirements of the interested groups, but can include the following services: facilitation of drafting of charters within the charter amendment process or broader governance document updates, facilitation of drafting team meetings, providing input as necessary throughout the amendment process, and liaising with the community in preparation for the ICANN's board review process, which is prior to the public comment process within the charter amendment procedure. The community engagement team has supported various governance document updates or drafting efforts. Most recently, the team has concluded supporting two different groups and is continuing work within two additional community groups. If you're interested in this support process or have any questions about this process, please don't hesitate to reach out to us using the email that you can see on the slide here, policyinfo@ICANN.org, or contacting us directly. I'll now turn it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes, for our team's update on the public comment process. Thank you, and over to you, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Benedetta. Hi, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes. I'm also working on the community engagement team here. Topics that we also oversee as a team. The first is public comment. As you all know, public comment is really a pillar at ICANN, which provides an opportunity for all stakeholders to provide input and feedback. Most of the public comment proceedings that we see are issues including policy development, about 50 to 60 proceedings a year, and we are very much on track for that this year. Right now, we're estimating about 56 public comment proceedings in 2016. But also, our team also explores issues related to ongoing improvements to the system, both how all of you interact with the pages and the design and making the experience as streamlined as possible. So stay tuned for updates as those develop, but we continue to maintain the integrity of that process so that everyone can participate. The other effort that we oversee is community recognition. As Benedetta mentioned, the team really strives to highlight the contributions and commitment of our community volunteers, leaders, and experts. We oversee the annual programming efforts related to community recognition. This includes our annual general meeting recognition program, which will take place in Hyderabad. We're recognizing 37 members of the community who are transitioning from different roles. This also includes a leadership award, which is selected by the ICANN executive team, and the multi-stakeholder ethos award, which is a community-driven process and takes place every year at the middle meeting. With that, I'm going to transition the webinar to updates from the supporting organizations and advisory committees, and I'll begin with the ADRA supporting organization. The ASO is essentially the representative of the numbering community within the ICANN ecosystem, and the Address Council is the group that oversees and manages policy development process, global policy development for this group. The Address Council has 15 members, and recently two members were appointed, Kevin Bloomberg from ARIN and Brajesh Jain from APNIC region. He'll be joining, formally starting his term in January. As I mentioned, the Address Council focuses on global policy development. These are policies that require specific actions by the IANA. And all five RIRs must approve the same global policy, which is then submitted by the Address Council to the board. There are currently no global policy proposals, but there's a lot of regional policy development taking place, largely in two different types of policies. Internet number resource transfers. This includes IPv4 and autonomous system number allocation, and also IPv6 policies. There's a lot of policy related to these issues right now, and simplifying a lot of the existing policies so that there's a alignment across the RIRs. Policy development happens at the regional level within the numbering community. Right now, the ARIN community is meeting in Dallas, and I'm here watching their proceedings and participating in their sessions. Two quick updates related to the IANA stewardship transition from the numbering community. The service level agreement between ICANN and the RIRs is now in effect, and that has also triggered the IANA Numbering Services Review Committee, which is in place. And with that, I'll hand it over to Bart.
Thank you, Carlos. So it's my task to inform you about the CCNSO meetings and the highlights of that meeting, including the policy and policy related work. But before doing this, I want to mention that the CCNSO meetings in Hyderabad will be limited to 4 days. They will start on the Friday, the 4th of November, with working group meetings. And we'll close on Monday, the 7th of November, with a CCNSO Council meeting. In between, there are Tech Day and the CCNSO meeting days. The second item I want to mention is that the CCNSO meetings are around all kind of activities. I will highlight some of the policy and policy-related work, but as you can see on the slide, the CCNSO meetings are also geared around the implementation work of the CWG stewardship proposal. Although the CWG stewardship has finished its work, there are still some aspects that are of interest to the CCTLD community and need to be informed, and also on the update and next steps around the CCWG accountability, not just the workstream 2, but also other items. So focusing on the content of the meetings themselves, so the most important policy work is the discussion around the initiation of the CCNSO policy, third CCNSO policy development process on the delegation or on the retirement of CCTLDs and on review mechanisms relating to decisions on delegation, revocation, transfer, and retirement of CCTLDs. The timing of this session will be is you can find in the agenda itself. A second policy-related work item is a discussion by the Council on the final report of the CCNSO work stream or working group on the extended process similarity review panel and on the guidelines. This working group has finalized its work, has submitted its and after public consultation has submitted its final report to the council for decision making. The interesting aspect of this particular work item is that it became clear during the public comment that parts of the community are supportive or strongly supportive of the suggestions of the working group, and other parts, in particular the ASEC, is opposed. So there needs to be a way through this, and but that's up to the council, and it will be part of the council decisions. As I just alluded to, there will be a YANA stewardship session and a accountability session, and these are again items that are not policy and policy related, but are very high on the priority list of the CCNSO and the broader CCTLD community. So, looking at other sessions and another view of the CCNSO meetings is, say, the how the meetings are organized. As you can see, and this is probably one of the more established outreach sessions, it's is Tech Day. Tech Day will be on Saturday in the afternoon, and the agenda will be available shortly. And then the CCNSO meeting or members meetings day, so that's for the CCTLD and broader CCTLD community, will be on the on Sunday and Monday, and the CCNSO Council meeting will be on Monday afternoon, starting at 5 until 6:30. And with this, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Marika Konings, who will start introducing the GNSO policy and policy-related work. Go ahead, Marika.
Thank you very much, Bart. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and team leader for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or also known as GNSO, and I'm based in San Jose, Costa Rica. Together with my colleagues, we support the GNSO in its policy development activities. And as you can see on this slide, there are numerous projects underway in the GNSO, including 11 policy development processes, or PDPs, at the various stages of the PDP lifecycle. As we only have limited time during this webinar today, we'll not be able to cover each and every project, but we have focused our update on those topics that you can expect to be discussed during ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. In addition to this presentation, I would also like to encourage you to review the GNSO policy briefings, which will be published shortly on the GNSO website, which will provide you with additional details on each of these topics, as well as related meeting details. So the first topic we'll cover is the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace the WIS policy development process, which is also referred to as the RDS PDP. As many of you may know, WHOIS was created in the 1980s as a collection and publication of domain name registration data service by internet operators to be able to identify and contact individuals or entities that are responsible for the operation of a network resource on the internet. Although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration data collection, access and accuracy for GTLD registries have undergone some important changes, including, for example, the registration data publication service specifications with the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA. The WHOIS policy itself and the underlying protocol have been the subject of debate for nearly 15 years now. Comprehensive WHOIS policy reform remains a source of long-running discussion related to issues such as purpose, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, cost, policing, intellectual property protection, security, etc. So to address these issues, the board launched an initiative back in 2012 to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and to consider safeguards for protecting this data. using the recommendations that were developed by the Expert Working Group, or EWG, on this topic as an input to, and if deemed appropriate, as the foundation for a new GTLD policy. So the PDP working group that was created in response to the board request has been tasked to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and in addition, consider safeguards for protecting that data. It's expected to answer these questions through a three-phased approach, the first one being the identification of fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data, without concern for the model that may be delivering such requirements. As part of this effort, it's expected to consider users and purposes, as well as associated access, accuracy, data elements, and privacy requirements. So as mentioned on the previous slide, the working group is currently in phase one of its work, which focuses on identifying what are the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data. Once the PDP has completed this inventory of fundamental requirements, it needs to ask the question whether a new policy framework and next generation RDS is needed to meet these requirements, or whether the current WHOIS policy framework can meet these requirements in its current form or with modifications. If the answer is that a new policy framework and next generation RDS is needed, the PDP working group would then move into the next phase of its work, which would focus on establishing such a new policy framework to support the identified requirements. Since the commencement of its work in January of this year, the working group has identified and summarized all relevant inputs in relation to this topic, from which it has now derived a long list of possible requirements. Currently, this list comprises over 1,000 possible requirements. So the next phase of its work is expected to review all these possible requirements and determine which ones of those have the consensus support of the working group. In order to facilitate that work, the working group is now in the process of agreeing on a statement of purpose for registration data and directory services, which is expected to underpin the deliberations on the possible requirements. At ICANN 57, the working group will have a face-to-face meeting on day one of the ICANN meeting, Thursday, 3rd of November, which will be open to anyone interested to attend. The working group is expected to continue its deliberations on the purpose statement, as well as commence or continue its deliberations on the possible requirements for RDS. So if you're interested in this topic, you're encouraged to review the wealth of information that's available on the Working Group Wiki space. We'll be creating a dedicated page which will contain some suggested materials to help you prepare for the session, and hopefully we'll see all of you either in person or remotely participating in this meeting. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Steve Chan.
Thank you, Mariga. This is Steve Chan. I'll be discussing the new GTLD subsequent procedures, policy development process, or as some of the working groups have started calling it to shorten the name. They started calling it a subpro. So as some of you may be aware, this PDP initiated operations in February of this year. And it's taken into consideration the experiences from the 2012 round of the new GTLD program. And it's seeking to determine if changes, updates, or modifications are needed to be made to the new GTLD policy recommendations. So it's something that's important to consider is that there are existing new GTLD policy recommendations that were developed by the GNSO Council, concluding in 2007, which were subsequently approved by the GNSO Council as well as the ICANN board. And these served as the basis for the implementation of the 2012 round. And these policy recommendations are in effect unless this PDP determines that changes are needed. So this PDP is the main effort related to new GTLDs, but it is one of many efforts that are directly or indirectly tied to new GTLDs. And so I'll touch on this again in a little bit more detail on the later slide. So what are you to expect at ICANN 57? This PDP has a face-to-face session scheduled on Thursday, the 3rd of November, the first day of the meeting. It will be discussing a number of topics from its charter. This is an open session, and all are welcome to participate, of course. In addition, one of the co-chairs, I believe, has decided that it would be Jeff Newman. He'll be participating in a session on new GTLD program reviews. There are a number of participants from the number of efforts that I alluded to a few moments ago. They'll all be participating in the session, and I think it helps to provide perspective and to show how interconnected all the efforts are. So the current status of this PDP, the charter for this working group contained 38 discrete subjects of varying levels of complexity, and these serve as the basis for this working group's deliberations. So the charter pointed out this is a non-exhaustive list, and the working group may discover additional topics that require deliberations as well. So what the working group started off with were a set of overarching issues. There were six subjects that they selected that were thought of as foundational and influential to many of the other subjects. So the working group has already had in-depth conversations about these subjects and has also formally sought input from the supporting organizations, advisory committees, as well as the stakeholder groups and constituencies. So the working group is now considering these inputs and is developing its preliminary conclusions on these particular subjects. And so they're at varying levels of completeness for those six subjects. In addition to these overarching issues, the working group has also initiated four separate work tracks. The remaining topics are split between these four work tracks. Each has its own set of co-chairs, and each working track has from a handful of topics to more than 10 for a couple of the work tracks. So the work track co-chairs have each selected topics that intends to highlight at ICANN 57, where they're hoping to get community input. And so they're obligated to consider all the topics identified in the charter, but at this stage, each of the work tracks has only preliminarily considered a few of the subjects which are going to drive the discussions at ICANN 57. So I'll just quickly run through the work tracks, what they intend to cover. Work track one, which is led by Sarah Bakke and Krista Taylor, they'll be looking at the overall process, the support and outreach. And specifically, they'll be looking at applicant support. They'll look at seeing what, which is something that's seen as requiring substantial improvement. They'll also be looking at registry service provider accreditation or certification. Moving on quickly to work track two, which is led by Michael Fleming and Phil Buckingham, which is regarding legal, regulatory, and contractual requirements. They will be looking at whether a single base agreement makes sense with various specifications or if multiple different base agreements are preferable. They'll also be looking at reserve names at the top level and second level, as well as the continuing operations instrument or the COI. Work track three, which is led by Karen Day and a yet-to-be-determined co-chair for her, that work track is looking at string contentions, objections, and dispute mechanisms, and specifically they will be looking at the impact of round or versus a continuously open process, which is actually an overarching topic, but they'll be looking at it from the perspective of how it affects objections, string contention, public comment, et cetera. And they'll also be examining the role of the independent objector. Work track four, which is led by Cheryl Langdon Orr and Ruben Skuhl, will be, which is in regards to IDNs and the technical and operational criteria. They'll be looking at the criteria, determine if the scope of questions makes sense, and they'll also touch on name collisions and IDNs. And so the last thing on this slide is in regards to community input too. I had mentioned the working group has already sought input on its overarching issues. They will intend to seek input on the rest of the subjects within their charter. The intention is to consolidate these requests from the four work tracks to ease the burden on the community in responding. And so I've mentioned this a few times, but there are a number of efforts within the community that are related to new GTLDs. The majority of these efforts will serve as inputs to the new GTLD PDP. So for instance, the findings from the Consumer Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Team will drive discussions on the relevant subjects that they're examining. The Cross-Community Working Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names will impact discussions on geographic names. And the RPMs PDP will be examining the RPMs that are directly related to new GTLDs, and it's anticipated that those will slot into the new GTLD program. And so there's other efforts as well, I think this is actually it, and I'll be handing it over to Mary. But I think she's having connectivity issues.
Hear me. So for those in Adobe, let me take a pause here and see if we can fix the issue. Apparently it is now back, so I think the trick is actually just to mention it. Apologies again to everybody, but let's go on with the description of this policy development process. The main thing that I wanted to highlight for everyone today is that there will be an open working group session at ICANN 57, and we would like to invite the community to make time to attend the session, either remotely or in person if you'll be in Hyderabad. The reason for that is that the working group is reaching a major milestone in its work, possibly the first milestone. I should mention that the work of this group is proceeding in two phases. The first phase, which is the phase that we're now in, focuses on all the rights protection mechanisms that were developed specifically for the 2012 new GTLD program. The second phase, which will come after the first, will focus on the longstanding Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, or UDRP, which is perhaps ICANN's oldest consensus policy. As I noted, we're in phase one, and there are several RPMs that were developed for this particular expansion round in 2012. The milestone that I mentioned earlier is the first of these that the working group chose to review, and that is the Trademark Post-Delegation Dispute Resolution Procedure. That will be the focus of the working group session at ICANN 57, where it hopes to wrap up its initial review of that rights protection mechanism. It will also start on the trademark clearinghouse mechanism. It already has begun working on data collection regarding the trademark clearinghouse, as well as a list of refinement of the charter questions relating to the trademark clearinghouse. And so on those efforts, it would seek community feedback and input as well, not just at ICANN 57, but after, at various points in this policy development process. So on this slide, we've noted that the working group charter is probably the best place to start. There is also a working group wiki space that you can consult to see draft documents and to see where the group is in terms of its work. I've already noted what will be covered in phase one and phase two, and clearly it is phase one that has the greatest relevance to the other ongoing efforts. regarding the 2012 new GTLD program. Like the co-chairs of the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, the co-chairs of this PDP will also be participating in the general new GTLD program review session at ICANN 57. So the other important points I wanted to make and highlight for everybody is that, again, as with the other related efforts, quite a lot of coordination is ongoing between this group and the other groups, not just in terms of policy development process work, but also in terms of the review team that's happening on competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. And as some of you know, there is actually a specific independent review of the Trademark Clearinghouse that is ongoing, and we are coordinating with the researchers on that as well. Finally, in terms of timeline, and this is something that probably is of most interest to people, we hope to complete phase one, if not at the end of 2017, then by early 2018. The important point to note here is that the GNSO Council has expressly requested that at the end of phase one, a report be published for public comment. And as I noted, these are all the new GTLD program rights protection mechanisms listed on this slide. And so after the trademark post-delegation dispute resolution procedure and the trademark clearinghouse, the working group will then be moving on to discuss sunrise registrations, trademark claims notices, and the new uniform rapid suspension procedure. So as you can see, there's quite a lot of work in phase one alone. This last slide that I have focuses the milestones and matches them with ICANN meetings for the upcoming year so that you can track the progress of this working group as we go through phase one and then into phase two. And I'll let you read that at your leisure after this webinar. At this point, we're going to move down the coast of the U.S. from beautiful New England, where I am, to Washington, D.C., and my colleague Julie Hedlund.
Thank you very much, Mary. This is Julie Hedlund, and I'm going to cover along with Mary a couple of other efforts just in brief and their activities at ICANN 57. The first is the GNSO Review Working Group. This was a group whose charter was adopted back in July by the GNSO Council, and this working group is tasked to develop an implementation plan for the GNSO review recommendations that were recently adopted by the ICANN board. And so the working group has been formed and is meeting weekly and is in the process of developing a plan. And the expectation at ICANN 57 is for the working group to meet in person for a public meeting where it will finalize its implementation plan. This is, as is usual for meetings at ICANN meetings, an open meeting, and you are welcome to join. The target date for the work of the working group is to deliver the implementation plan to the GNSO Council in November of 2016, and for the GNSO Council to deliver the plan to the ICANN board by December of 2016. The next item I want to highlight is the GNSO rights and obligations under the revised ICANN bylaws and the implementation drafting team. So following the IANA, the completion of the IANA transition, the new revised bylaws have been adopted and are now in place. These revised bylaws may result in possible changes to GNSO operating procedures and also possibly to the bylaws as they relate to the GNSO. So the GNSO Council has created a bylaws drafting team to look at the bylaws and to determine possible changes. That drafting team has presented its report to the Council on the 12th of October, and the Council will consider a motion to approve the report at its meeting at ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. And in addition, the drafting team may work with ICANN staff following the approval of the report on the implementation of these possible changes to GNSO operating procedures and bylaws in late 2016, early 2017. I will note that the drafting team is not expected to meet at ICANN 57, so the activity that we are looking forward to there is the GNSO Council's consideration of the motion to approve the plan. And now I'll go ahead and turn things back to my colleague, Mary Wong. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. This is Mary again, and I hope you can all hear me both on AC as well as phone audio. So I just wanted to give you a brief update on a recently completed policy development process from the GNSO, and this is for accreditation of privacy and proxy services. This group was chartered by the GNSO Council to develop principles and guidelines to assist ICANN in implementing such an accreditation program, which ICANN had previously committed to doing. As you see on the overview section of this slide, the ICANN board approved all the consensus recommendations from this policy development process in August, and so we're now in the implementation phase. We have just formed an implementation review team, or IRT. For those of you who don't know, an IRT is a community-based team, largely but not entirely consisting of members from the PDP working group, who work together with ICANN staff to ensure that the implementation actually follows the intent of the policy recommendations. If you're interested, you can join this IRT, and I will put some links in the chat after this is done so that you can get to these proper links. Essentially, at ICANN 57, this will be the first time that the community will see a draft implementation plan. I should note that this plan has been prepared by staff as an initial aid for the IRT to review the scope as well as the timing of the planned implementation. So there will be a session at ICANN 57 to share that draft plan for feedback, and there will also be a meeting of the IRT. This will be the second meeting of the IRT where they will go over the plan. So if you're interested, please join either or both of these sessions, and the best way to prepare, I would suggest, is to review all the PDP recommendations that were approved by the board. And as Laurie Shulman says, this was one of the fun topics in the GNSO. So that's the update from the GNSO. And on that note, we're going to swing over to the At-Large Advisory Committee and the At-Large Community. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Mary. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director for At-Large. Today, I'm joined by two of my teammates, Ariel Lang, Policy Analyst, and Sylvia Babenko, Manager at Large Regional Affairs. We are delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of the five regional at-large organizations and now 210 at-large structures that have taken place between the ICANN meetings in Helsinki and Hyderabad. We will also provide a preview of at-large activities that are being planned for ICANN 57. So first, to begin with ALAC activities, between ICANN 56 and ICANN 57, there are three main areas. The first is the ICANN stewardship transition. After significant discussion, ALAC revised its rules procedure to ensure it was compliant with the new bylaws. The ALAC revised ROPs confirmed that the chair of the ALAC will be the ALAC representative of the on the ICANN Empowered Community Administration. Therefore, Alan Greenberg is currently the ALAC representative to the EC. Also, earlier in the summer, the ALAC confirmed that Mohammed El-Bashir will be the ALAC liaison to the Customer Standing Committee. Secondly, the at-large review. The at-large review continues with ITEM, the independent examiner, conducting many interviews throughout the ICANN community. I'm happy to see a couple of them on the call today. The at-large survey is currently open a few more days until tomorrow. The survey is available in English, Spanish, and French. And the link is there on the slide, and perhaps a colleague of mine could put that link into the chat as well. And then the third main activity was the process for seat 15 at the board, and this has now started. And two groups, the Board Member Selection Process Committee, the BMSPC, and the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, the BCEC, have now started their activities for Seat 15, which is the Board Seat Director for At-Large. The BMSPC has responsibility of overseeing the entire selection process, including the election, and Tijani Benjamin is the chair of the BMSPC. And I'm hearing it, just making sure that I can now, everyone can now hear me very clearly. The BCEC is the main responsibility is to identify the applicants who would each make an excellent board director. Among its tasks, the BCEC shall clearly publish director eligibility requirements and expectations. And Julie Hammer is the chair of the BCEC. I'm now going to hand it over to Ariel to present an update of policy development advice, policy advice development, and the policy briefing activities since ICANN 56. Ariel?
Thank you very much, Heidi. This is Ariel Liang, policy analyst supporting the at-large community. Since the end of ICANN 56, the ALAC submitted four policy advice statements in response to ICANN public comment proceedings, and two of them are related to the new GTLDs and contracted parties. Regarding the proposed amendments to base new GTLD registry agreement, the ALAC advises that fee reduction must be subject to public consultation and comments addressing the public interest must be taken into account. And registries should continue reporting to ICANN any registration fee changes. And in the registry agreement, any implication that the use of .list domains might be sanctioned through a registry service evaluation process must be removed. And finally, the ALAC emphasizes the need to make the public aware of discussions of registry agreement modification or the list of issues to be addressed when the process is ongoing. Regarding the GTLD Marketplace Health Index, the ALAC points out that the beta metrics for registries and registrars lack the differentiation and the focus on market take-up. To better reflect competition, the ALAC suggests to add metrics that reflect market share, information density of TLDs, and registrants' use of domains. The ALAC would also like to see metrics that explain why registrars are voluntarily or involuntarily deaccredited. Lastly, the ALAC expresses strong support to the specified observations on the process around confusing similarity of ID and C to TLDs. The ALAC also strongly supports the projected FY17 improvements proposed in the ICANN Fellowship Program application process review. In addition to these policy advice statements, the at-large community has recently published two briefing documents in collaboration with ICANN policy staff. The at-large community policy issues why end users should care document provides an overview of 12 topics that at-large has been contributing input within ICANN, ranging from accountability and transparency of ICANN to who is and registration directory services. The document also explains why each issue is relevant or of concern to end users, with the aim to help more users understand the work of at-large and get involved in ICANN. At-large members have widely shared this briefing document for outreach and capacity building purposes. It also has been shared with the ICANN board. As a related effort, a briefing paper focused on the hot topics for the European Regional At-Large Organization was also published. It discusses URALO members' contribution to various thematic topics such as jurisdiction and human rights in CCWG Accountability Workstream 2, public interest within ICANN's remit, and improvements to the registrar data retention waiver request. This document was shared with the ICANN board and the European Commission Director General for the Communications Network, Content, and Technology. The community will keep updating these two documents periodically to reflect the development of these topics. Other RALOs have also followed the example of the URALO and started drafting their own hot topic briefing paper. To read the published ICANN policy advice, briefing paper, and other policy documents, please visit the policy advice section on the at-large website. would like to share an important news. Yesterday, the application pool for the ICANN board director position, seat number 15, who is selected by the at-large community, just opened. At-large is seeking expressions of interest from now to Friday, November 18, 2016. The selected candidate will serve for a three-year term starting at the end of ICANN 60 in 2017. If you're interested in this position or know anyone who may be interested in applying, please contact program-admin@atlarge.icann.org. And for more information, please visit the wiki homepage of the selection process on the slide. I will also type the URL in the chat. Now I will turn the floor back to Heidi, who will brief you on the highlights activities in ICANN 57. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Ariel. The ALAC and at-large will be holding activities. I've divided them for under policy, process, and outreach and engagement. Under policy, there'll be three main issues. The first are Workstream 2 issues. These will be a review of the nine topics within Workstream 2 and a follow-up to the weekly calls that have been held recently on these issues within at-large. Secondly, toward a consumer agenda. This is a follow-up from a request of Steve Crocker during ICANN 56, and the at-large community has been working on this since Helsinki, and they hope to work on this more face-to-face and then present it to the board during Hyderabad. The third is the RDS PDP and the new GTLD PDP, along with the CCT review, and there will be an update given to the at-large leadership on this and with the aim to provide a direction to those participating in the process and the efforts. Secondly, under process, again, as I mentioned, there's the at-large review. The at-large review, an independent examiner, will be giving an update on the third, and then also will be they'll be presenting their interim findings to at-large as well as continuing its research in preparation for its draft report due in early 2006. Secondly, under process, the ALS criteria. This is in parallel to the at-large review. This is looking at expectations and criteria for the at-large structures, and there'll be work made on this during Hyderabad. Finally, under process, the fiscal year 18 preparation, there'll be a review of the fiscal year 18 budget, including the possible special requests. Under outreach and engagement, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement is organizing sessions with NextGen with the aim of increasing their understanding of how the ALAC and at-large works. There'll be capacity-building sessions, which Sylvia will talk a little bit more about, for AP RALO members, and then also a joint AP RALO Civil Society Showcase will be taking place on Sunday the 6th. For sessions during ICANN 57, the ALAC and RALO leaders will be holding over 12 hours of face-to-face time. They'll be meeting with the board, the commercial stakeholder group, the country code main supporting organization, the governmental advisory committee, the registry stakeholder group, and the security and stability advisory committee. So a lot of activities there, as well as taking part in the HIT efforts as well. The incoming and continuing ALAC members and liaisons will be participating in an ALAC development session on the 9th, and there will also be a RALO development session for incoming and continuing RALO leaders. And the main ALAC room is Hall 1, and we very much look forward to welcoming you there. Finally, on my part, ICANN 57 will be the annual general meeting, and with that brings in a new ALAC team, and these are the people that you'll be working with during 2016 and 2017. I would now like to hand the floor over to my colleague, Sylvia Vavenko, who will provide an update on the activities of the regional at-large organizations. Sylvia?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, everyone. I am Sylvia Vivanco, Manager at Large Regional Affairs, and I will present the RALO meetings and events in Hyderabad. AFRALO will hold the AFRALO African Joint Meeting on Monday, 7th November, on the theme Impact of the IANA Transition and ICANN Accountability on Africa. AP RALO members will hold its monthly meeting on Sunday, 6 November. LAC RALO members will hold its meeting on 8 November. ANGNA RALO will have a meeting a year in review on Sunday, 6 November. NARALO will launch the Tribal Ambassador Pilot Project, addressing the digital divide throughout First Peoples in communities in NARALO. This is a complement to the current ICANN Fellowship Program and is targeted at individuals who identify with or are part of indigenous groups in the U.S. and Canada. The first two tribal ambassadors are Valerie Fast Horse of the Coeur d'Alene Tribe and April Tinghorn of the Indian Reservation located in the Grand Canyon area. For more information on this pilot, please click on the wiki page, at large wiki page. Thank you. And the cross-RALO meetings, all the RALOs will hold the regional secretariat meeting on Saturday 5th, and there will be a RALO development session on Wednesday the 9th. The RALO development session is a team-building exercise to increase collaboration and to work more effectively as a virtual global team. And now AP RALO will conduct a series of activities at ICANN 57. AP RALO will invite all AP RALO LASs and other members of that large community to attend the meeting on AP RALO Capacity Building Program. This program will feature a series of 4 capacity building sessions to take place on Saturday 5th through Tuesday 8th November. These sessions will include basic knowledge on ICANN and at large, including the policy development process and ICANN's unique bottom-up multi-stakeholder model of decision-making. There will be a focus on sustaining and growing the knowledge gained. AP RALO will be hosting as well a joint AP RALO showcase and civil society event on the theme Celebrating Diversity and Diwali Festival on Monday, 7 November, between 1830 and 1945 in Hall 1. There will be cocktails and entertainment, so please come and join us. And now I will turn it over to my colleague, Olof. Olof?
Thank you very much, Sylvia, and a very good evening to you all from me in Brussels. And it's time for a few words about a governmental advisory committee, or GAC for short. Since the latest ICANN meeting in Helsinki, with a little help from our colleagues on government engagement, one new member has joined, and this is Nepal. So from now on, we have participation from the very highest level, altitude-wise. And with that, the GAC currently has no less than 170 governments as members, and also 35 IGOs, or intergovernmental organizations, as observers. And they will be truly busy with a dense schedule for all the 7 days in Hyderabad, including leadership elections, where there are 6 nominations for 5 vice chair seats in the GAC, and also the ICANN bylaws. They have particular requirements for adaptation and also development of GAC processes, and multiple sessions in Hyderabad will be devoted to that. There will be sessions as well on some, let's call it evergreens in the issue garden, like registration directory services, new GTLDs, and IGO protections. Also, the GAC working groups will be very active in their own right, but also deeply involved in some high-interest topic sessions. More on that shortly. And I just want to highlight that the GAC communique, the finalization of that will happen on Tuesday in the afternoon and maybe stretch into the evening. And that one session will be open, as is now the established practice at all GAC sessions will be open. And on that note, I would like to move over to southern France, where Julia Chervoulen will share with you some highlights and particulars of the GAC schedule. So please take it away, Julia.
Thank you, Olaf, and hello, everyone. Among the GAC working groups, which will be meeting in Hyderabad, we have the GAC Human Rights and International Law Working Group. They will be meeting on Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30. The GAC Working Group will be discussing the development of the framework of interpretation of the human rights core value included in the ICANN bylaws within the CCWG accountability, and will also exchange information and on other relevant developments mentioned in the Working Group's work plan. Another GAC Working Group which will be meeting in Hyderabad is the Underserved Regions Working Group. The working group will be meeting on Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 in order to discuss and finalize their work plan with the objective to have it endorsed by the GAC by ICANN 57. Additionally, the GAC Underserved Regions Working Group will have an Asia-Pacific capacity building session on Sunday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The purpose of the meeting is for the Asia-Pacific members from ICANN to participate along with the AP GAC members in a capacity building session in order to better understand the GAC's work as well as interact with the GAC and the broader ICANN community so as to obtain a better understanding of the fields where ICANN needs Asia-Pacific members' contribution and participation. And lastly, still the Underserved Regions Working Group co-chairs will be chairing the high-interest topic session on the underserved regions in ICANN on Monday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. This session will be a cross-community discussion and will explore and share possible initiatives that could assist underserved regions in ICANN. Finally, the GAC will also be meeting in inter-community sessions with the ALAC, the GNSO, as well as the CCNSO and the board. And with that, I will hand it over to my colleague, Fabien Betrenneau. Fabien, please.
Thank you, Julia. Apologies for the delay. Hello, everyone. I'm going to provide a short update on two additional working groups of the GAC. First, with the Geographic Names Working Group, which will meet on day one of the ICANN meeting on Thursday the 3rd at 8:30 a.m. This working group will build on its intersessional work since Helsinki, in particular in two areas. First, developing best practices for future rounds of new GTLDs, and the specific focus here will be on principles applicable to names or acronyms with geographic significance, which may not qualify under geographic names as defined in the new GTLD applicant guidebook. And in parallel to that, the working group will continue its consideration of public interest from the perspective of geographic names. With respect to the public safety working group, the focus here will be on those three topics that are listed here. First, abuse mitigation. The PSWG will host a high-interest topic on this matter to facilitate a discussion of the community regarding, in particular, industry best practices. It will also engage with contracted parties in dedicated GDD sessions related to the development of the security framework for registry operators to respond to security threats. On WHOIS related initiative, the PSWG has also proposed a high-interest topic, which will be for the community to discuss ongoing initiatives, and especially from the perspective of key issues such as accountability and data privacy. In addition, the PSWG will be involved in various GNSO and GDD sessions related to the RDS PDP as well as the privacy and proxy services accreditation implementation. And finally, child protection will feature high on the PSWG agenda, and this will be in its working session planned on day two of the meeting, Friday 4 November at 6:30 p.m. And this GAC update would not be complete without inviting you all to come to all four of the venue in Hyderabad for all GAC plenary and GAC working group meetings, where interpretation will be provided in the six UN languages plus Portuguese. And I will now turn over to Andrew for an update on the RSAC activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Fabien. My name is Andrew McConaughey, and I am a policy and technical specialist who supports the RSAC and the ESAC. I'm going to be telling you about the RSAC, the Root Service System Advisory Committee. So the RSAC is comprised of representatives of the root server operators. There are 12 operators, and each of them has a primary and an alternate representative. There are also four liaisons in the RSAC. There's also the RSAC caucus. All the members of RSAC are also members of the RSAC caucus. There are also members of the RSAC caucus who are approved by RSAC, and these are subject matter experts in DNS. So they're typically technical experts who know a lot about DNS and have submitted a statement of interest to that address you see there. Now I'm going to tell you about three recent publications of the RSAC. The first is the RSAC statement on client-side reliability of root data. This was published on June 28, 2016. And it reiterates the commitment that the root operators have to serving the IANA Global Root DNS namespace. This has been made before, but this is a reiteration. It also reiterates commitment to sign the DNS root with DNSSEC so that clients can then cryptographically verify that what they are receiving is the same thing from all roots. The next document I'll be talking about was published on September 8th, 2016, and it's a statement on unavailability of a single root server. And this statement says that the loss of a single root server will not cause immediate stability issues for the root server system, i.e. the DNS, and the internet that depends upon it. So, and this comes about because of the high redundancy of the root server system, as well as caching in recursive servers, which means that the loss of a single server wouldn't even be noticed for a while because of advertised TTL values. And, of course, there are still 12 other servers all serving the same thing. And there have been a couple tests of this when the root server system has experienced several large DDoS attacks, and there's been no end-user visible error conditions because of any of these attacks. So in general, users don't even know that these attacks are going on. The final document I'll be talking about before turning it over to my colleague was published on October 6, 2016, and it's a response to the DNSO PDP on new GTLD subsequent procedures. And the response basically says if any new GTLDs are added in the future, which are kind of consistent with past expansion programs, the RSAC does not foresee any technical issues. It also recommends that the root zone management partners and root operators implement some coordination procedures so that root server operators can notify ICANN in the event of any stress on the root name service due to additional names being added. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes. Carlos?
Thanks, Andrew. This is Carlos Reyes, and I'll provide a brief update on some current work items within the RSAC. The first is a history of the root server system. The RSAC, in collaboration with root server operators, will provide an overview of the organizational history of the root server system. This is expected probably in a few weeks. The next update is on root server naming scheme. This document traces the technical history of the names assigned to individual root servers since the creation of the root server system, and it also considers changes to the current naming scheme. This should also be forthcoming in a few weeks. The next two items are not quite finalized, but they're in different stages of work. The next document is a key technical elements. This document defines technical elements of potential new root operators and how these elements are critical to any potential root server operator designation process. Above all else, the RSEC is exploring these topics to ensure that they are as specific as possible and provable, documentable, and or measurable. So a lot of technical work going into this document. And lastly, the RSAC launched a new work party to investigate best practices in optimizing the distribution of root server instances. So those are some of the four ongoing efforts. And then finally, just a quick overview of what's expected in ICANN 57. The RSEC continues to provide tutorials on the root server system. Those are happening toward the beginning of the meeting. And, of course, there will be an RSEC public session. Of note, the caucus will be having their first meeting at an ICANN meeting. They typically meet at IETF meetings, but the caucus, which Andrew described earlier, will also be in session in Hyderabad. And with that, on to my colleague, Julie.
Thank you, Carlos. This is Julie Hedlund again, and I'll move fairly quickly through the ESSAC work. The ESSAC has had two publications since ICANN 56, and let me just cover these very briefly. The first one is ESSAC 84, the ESSAC comments on guidelines for the extended process similarity review panel for the IDN CCTLD fast track process. This document reiterates three core principles concerning the inclusion of TLD labels in the root zone: the conservation principle, the inclusion principle, and the stability principle. It argues that from a security and stability perspective, the EPSRP provides a way for ICANN to bypass the conservatism, inclusion, and stability principles in order to approve new IDN CCTLDs that will be rejected if those principles were applied. It recommends that the ICANN board should not accept the proposed guidelines for the EPSRP, as those guidelines represent a threat to the security and stability of the DNS. And then the next item is SAC 83. That's the ESSAC comment on proposed amendments to the new GTLD registry agreement. And specifically, it notes that Section 1.2 of Exhibit A, the approved services, introduces new text. And the current relevant text under Exhibit A, the ESSEC suggests, should be deleted to remove this unintended ambiguity and replaced with a straightforward declaration that dotless domains are prohibited in new GTLDs. Moving forward on the activities at ICANN 57, we have, as usual, our DNSSEC for Everybody Beginner session, and that's on the 4th of November. That's the Friday. And in this session, we hope to demystify DNSSEC and show how you can easily and quickly deploy DNSSEC into your business. And this includes a very enjoyable skit. I encourage everybody to attend if they can. Also, there is the DNSSEC workshop on Monday, the 7th of November, which is a public presentation and discussion with those actively engaged in the deployment of DNSSEC, and anyone with an interest in the deployment of DNSSEC will benefit from this workshop. And finally, there is the usual ESSEC public meeting on the 8th of November, during which the committee will provide an overview of its recent and current activities and invite input from the community. And now I'd like to turn things over to the cross-community efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, everybody. This is Mary Wong again. And this is the last substantive portion of the webinar, which focuses on three recent cross-community efforts. I'm going to talk a little bit about the first one, which was co-charted by the CCNSO and GNSO councils. This is a rather long name for a group that I'm happy to report is just about complete with its work. And this group has been shortened and is affectionately known as CWG Squared. So we may well be bidding goodbye to this group because it was charted by these two councils to develop a cohesive, uniform framework of principles that would govern the initiation, the chartering, the operations, and the closure for future cross-community working groups. The final framework was completed a month or so ago and delivered to both councils. The GNSO Council has considered and approved this final framework, and I believe the CCNSO Council will be considering it very shortly. Because this is intended as a work effort that's to be shared with the rest of the community, following the approval by the CCNSO Council, the framework will be sent to all ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees with the recommendation that it be consulted for future cross-community working groups beginning indeed with the next one, for which my colleague David Tate will describe the scope, and that is the proposed cross-community working group on the use of new GTLD auction proceeds. David?
Thanks, Mary. This is indeed David Tate. I'm not Marika Koenigs. Together with Marika and my colleague Julie Headland, I support the CCWG drafting team on the use of new GTLD auction proceeds. Auctions were chosen as the mechanism of last resort to resolve string contention within the new GTLD program. However, most of the string contentions have been resolved through other means before reaching an auction. Nevertheless, significant funding has accrued as a result of several auctions. These proceeds have been reserved and earmarked and currently stand at over $200 million US. Community discussions on this topic started back at ICANN 52 and resulted, amongst others, in a discussion paper that preceded the creation of a drafting team consisting of representatives from most ICANN supporting organisations and advisory committees. This which was responsible for developing a proposed charter on for CCWG tasked with developing proposals on mechanisms to develop to be developed in order to allocate new GTLD funding proceeds. At this point, it's important to understand that the CCWG will not make recommendations or determinations with regard to specific funding decisions, i.e. with specific organisations or projects which are to be funded or not. A first draft of the charter was reviewed and discussed during ICANN 56 at one of the cross-community sessions. Following that session, the drafting team took great care to review and address all the comments received. The end results and the final draft of the charter reflect these discussions and the compromises that were agreed as a result. The proposed charter was submitted last month to the relevant ICANN SOs and ACs with the question to identify any pertinent issues which would prevent the adoption of the charter. Furthermore, a webinar was organised to allow for a walkthrough of the charter as well as addressing any possible questions. At that stage, no pertinent issues were identified, and the drafting team has now submitted this proposed charter for the CCWG to the ICANN SOs and ACs for their consideration. It's the expectation that some groups may consider the charter for adoption during ICANN 57. Once the charter has been adopted by two or more SOs and ACs, the CCWG will be formed by launching a call for volunteers. In addition to members appointed by chartering organisations, the CCWG will be open to anyone with an interest in the topic. Tentatively, a session has been scheduled for the 6th to 8th of November at 1750 to 1830 local time. The drafting team will decide closer to the date whether there's a need for this session, for example, to brief potential volunteers to the CCWG on the charter, or whether it would be premature to do so at this stage. If you're interested in this topic, I'd encourage you to keep an eye out on the schedule to see when this session will take place. And at that point, I'll pass over to my colleague, Emily.
Thanks, David. This is Emily Barabas. I'm a policy specialist supporting policy processes on the GNSO side, and I'm based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. So I'm going to talk to you about the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. This CWG seeks to review issues related to the use of country and territory names as top-level domains, building on the work of the CCNSO study group on the use of country and territory names, which came before it. More specifically, this group has been tasked with investigating the feasibility of developing a uniform policy framework that can be applied across all top-level domains. I'll first touch on the scope and status of work for this group and then discuss what can be expected at ICANN 57. The treatment of geographic names has been discussed in a number of ICANN processes and bodies, so it's important first to highlight that this cross-community working group is chartered to address only country and territory names as top-level domains. The methodology of work for this group consists of three parts. Two letter representations of country and territory names in the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO's 3166-1 Alpha 2 standard. Three letter representations of country or territory names on the ISO 3166-1 Alpha 3 standard, And finally, the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. Regarding three character codes, following deliberations, the CWG reached preliminary consensus in support of maintaining the status quo of two character codes as exclusively reserved for country code TLDs. Turning its attention to three character codes, the group has had extensive discussions on the issue of three character codes, and after identifying a divergence of views within the group, conducted a survey of supporting organizations and advisory committees, as well as holding a cross-community session at ICANN 56 to gather further input. It became clear through these conversations and outreach efforts that there was a wide range of views on the topic, and therefore consensus was not achievable in the issue of three character codes. The group did not progress to considering country and territory names. Preliminarily, this group has found that it is not feasible within its limited mandate to develop a consistent and uniform definitional framework that could be applicable across the respective supportive organizations and advisory committees, defining rules for the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. In light of these developments, the CWG has been working on two documents. First, the CWG is in the process of finalizing a progress report that will outline accomplishments to date, issues identified, and the direction of travel for this group. The group is planning to release a draft of this report for community feedback prior to ICANN 57. The progress report will feed into a second document, which is currently being drafted. The second document is the group's interim report, which provides extensive background information on the issue area, a full summary of the group's activities and accomplishments, and a discussion of the direction of travel. The interim report will be subject to a public comment period and will become the group's final report. Looking ahead to ICANN 57, there will be an open face-to-face working session on the 5th of November to continue discussions on the direction of travel for this group. The focus of the session will be on further developing the draft interim report and discussing possible recommendations for future work. Information about the cross-community working group will also be presented during the session on new GTLD program reviews. To prepare for ICANN 57, you can review the charter and read the draft reports, which will be available on the group's wiki page, and I'll provide a link to that in the chat. And now I'll turn it back over to Benedetta for the Q&A portion of this webinar.
Thank you, Emily. My name is Benedetta, and I'll be facilitating the question and answer session. So if you'd like to ask a question from the audio bridge, please press star one and record your name. While we wait for questions to come in from the audio bridge, I'll just turn the slide over to questions that were received prior to the webinar itself. We've received a couple of other questions which aren't on the slide, but which were actually addressed within the presentation, so I didn't include them in this slide. So this question refers to providing an update regarding the community process to define global public interest as it pertains to ICANN's mandate. And you can see on the slide a little bit of background information on the definition of global public interest, and then information about a high-interest topic session, which will take place at ICANN 57, and the session goals and objectives and relevant documentation on this topic. Operator, do we have any questions from the audio bridge?
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you very much. Well, if you have any questions following the webinar or would like to stay updated with the policy development support team, please use the team email address you can see on the slide here, policy-staff@ICANN.org. And you may also follow us on Twitter using the handles that are shown on the slide. If you're new to the policy development process but would like to join a GNSO working group, you'll be interested in the two newcomer sessions which are held at the start of every policy development process working group. A communication tools classroom, which is led by staff, to learn about the working group tools and ask questions, and the working group newcomer webinar, which is actually community-led, whose focus is helping newcomers familiarize themselves with the policy development process and to better understand how to engage within the GNSO working group setting. The next sessions will take place in November, and the dates are to be confirmed. A policy development process webinar will also take place in November, which is aimed at all ICANN community members who wish to have a better understanding of the role of the policy development process within the GNSO and within ICANN as a whole. In preparation for ICANN 57, please also don't forget to download the ICANN 57 mobile application to access meeting information on the go, personalize your meeting schedule, and connect with fellow attendees and post feedback on the sessions that you attend. To help attendees prepare for the Hyderabad meeting, a pre-ICANN 57 report will be posted as of October 25th on the ICANN57 meeting page and the policy development presentation page. The report will provide attendees further information on what to expect at ICANN57 and updates from the various supporting organizations and advisory committees. After the meeting, we will also release a post-ICANN57 report, including results and outcomes of the meeting, and this will be posted in mid-November. I will now turn it over to David Olive for his closing remarks. Thank you very much, and over to you, David.
Thank you very much, Benedetta, and I'd like to thank everyone on the call for allowing us to provide this summary and update of the policy and advice issues to be discussed in Hyderabad. And we'd like to, of course, say the new innovation since the Helsinki meeting is the pre- and post-policy update report that allows you to have a quick reference summary of the issues being discussed and some of the results following the ICANN meeting in Hyderabad. With that, I'd like to thank everyone. We hope to see you either face-to-face in India or remotely, as remote participation is also possible, so that you can be aware of and keep current of all the issues that we're following and reporting on here in today's webinar. With that, I want to thank you for your time and attention and wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you very much.